All right. Welcome again to Belmont. I'm Pastor John. Good to be up here. One of my favorite spots in the whole building right up here. So today we have the honor and the privilege of baptizing a few folks who are now believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may not know this, but what you believe, the things that you hold dear, the values that are the deepest in your heart, they will eventually come out of you. What is on the inside, what is at your core, it will come out of you. And sometimes that comes out when we are squeezed, right? When life rolls us down the road, rolls us a few times, we hit the curb, and we kind of break open a little bit. That actually happened at my house this past week where we were cleaning off our front porch, and Christy has some decorations up there, pumpkins and things like that for the fall. And so my son Levi was helping us set those out in the yard so we could clean the porch off a little bit. And when we went to go put them back on the porch, his foot accidentally hit one. And we live at the top of our street, and our yard is kind of sloped down. And so he didn't even notice, but he accidentally kicked it while he was picking up one, and he started carrying one up to the front porch. And behind him, I'm watching too far away to do anything about it. And this pumpkin starts rolling down our front yard, drops off the retaining wall, hits the sidewalk, keeps on rolling across the street, no cars coming at that moment, into the middle of the road, and then takes a right-hand turn, did not use a blinker, and starts rolling down this steep hill right by our house. And I'm just looking at this going, I wish I had a camera right now. And so then Levi turns, sees what happens, and he takes off sprinting after it. But by the time he caught up to it, it had rolled over down the street into a neighbor's yard, hit the curb, and cracked open. And so he was like, ugh, what is inside? If you look inside of a pumpkin, it has all that orange, stringy-looking, messy seeds and stuff. And what was inside of that pumpkin, when it got smashed and beat up a little bit, it came out of it. Well, the same is true for you and me, that when life hits us, when life comes at us, when we get squeezed a bit, what's inside will come out. Today, we're starting a sermon series called Core. And it's really about the core values that we hold as a church. And we want to once in a while stop and articulate what those values are so that we'll all stay on the same page about what it is that we're trying to be, who it is that we're trying to be. And so today we'll be talking about believing. Next week we'll be talking about belonging to this family. And then the week after that we'll be talking about becoming exactly who God wants us to be. I want to read you a verse. It says this from Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul's writing, and he says, so what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so that God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. What the Apostle Paul is talking about right there is about the gospel. That is the fact that by God's grace, we have been forgiven. We've left the old country of sin, and we've entered into the new country called grace. And the Bible says that we're walking one way toward the ways of the world, doing our own thing. And the Bible calls us to repent, to turn our back on our old way of life, and instead to turn and believe in Jesus Christ and walk toward Him. Amen? And that's what is our at the core of who we are as a people, is that we are believers. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And when we believe, we are changed into a new creation. All things are passing away and everything starts becoming brand new. In a little bit, you're going to see a couple of examples of young ladies who have said, you know what? I believe. That's my story. I believe I've been changed. And now, as an expression of what I truly believe in my heart, I want to, as an outworking of that, express that in obedience to Jesus Christ by being baptized as a part of this church family. So verses 3 through 5 in Romans chapter 6 says this: that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, guess what? It's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. So as you see these young ladies go underneath the waters of baptism, it's signifying what Jesus, our Savior, did when he died on a cross and was buried, and then 3 days later came back to life and defeated death. That is an amazing picture, amen? And so I'm going to call Ember to come on down. So what is at your core? What is at the heart of who you are? When you get squeezed, what comes out? Is it something that you're proud of, something that you're happy about? Or sometimes is it like, oof, I'm glad nobody from church is around when I get squeezed during the week? Can anybody testify to that? I need to see you guys right after church. But for the rest of us that are walking with the Lord 100% of the time, good job, pat on the back, not really, because we always tend to forget, we always tend to stray, right? We get away from the center of who it is that we know we're supposed to be, who we're called to be. And I want to remind us today that what we just experienced, what we just saw in baptism, is a testimony that says that there is a faith that brings forgiveness. There is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in him, when you put your trust in the work that he did, the work that we call the gospel, he changes us from the inside out. We become a new creation. And it's not because of anything that we did or earned or attained to. It's only because of the work that he did on our behalf. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. He initiated that action toward us, and only then were we able to respond back to him in love and belief, and to realize that the lie that we had bought into, the thing that we had been believing, was all wrong. The thing that we had thought was right, that if I'm my own boss and I do it my way, then that's the best way, and I'm going to be the one that decides how I'm going to live my life and every aspect of it. And we buy into that and we give ourselves over to the things of this world, looking for something that will truly never, ever satisfy, because we've believed the lie. But what I want to remind us about today is that we need to believe the truth of God's word. We're a church that is centered on the scriptures, that we're scripture driven. Everything we believe and think and do, we want it to come from God's word, from the Bible. And so we want to believe the truth, and the truth is this: that we're messed up, that we don't have it together, that when we get squeezed, what comes out is the sin and the death of this world, and that's not a pretty sight to see. But when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are completely changed and renewed. Old things are passing away, and everything becomes new. Could it be any clearer? Verse 6 of Romans 6, our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, guess what? He took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way: sin speaks as a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And if you're here today and maybe you're like one of the girls that got baptized today and said, when I saw somebody get baptized, Ember says, I saw my dad, I saw what he did, I saw the change, and God began to wake me up to the reality of believing the truth. Then when we believe, we become dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And that is a faith that brings forgiveness, that washes away the uncleanness that is inside of us. And I know for myself, and perhaps you as well, there's been times in my life, especially before I knew Christ, where I felt like the things that I had done in my past were unforgivable. That surely a God that was loving and holy and just couldn't just look the other way and couldn't forgive me, and nothing he could do could make me right. But I was believing a lie. But when I believed the truth that Jesus died on a cross for my sin in my place, 3 days later rose again and defeated death, my life was changed. The old John was gone and a new John was in his place. And the same is true for you this morning. If you're here and you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, and he's never done a 180 in your life and in your heart and in your mind, today could be the day where you come to saving faith in Christ. And that is the crux, that is the core of what we believe as a people who follow God, is that God still saves people, and he does that through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is available to anybody and everybody. That is why we preach it here, and that's why we go outside of these walls to share with people that God loves them. That's why we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's why this coming Saturday we'll be going down to Fallon Park and doing a fall festival so that we can meet other people who need to know Jesus, so that we could share what God has done in our hearts and in our lives and share that with them. So that's a faith that brings forgiveness, but there's also a faith that sometimes we don't act like we're aware of, and that's a faith that brings freedom. You know, sometimes we act as Christians like salvation, the work that Jesus did was just to get us over the line of salvation, but then after that, it's time to roll your sleeves up and get to work, because the rest of your life is really dependent on what you're able to do and on your performance. The truth is, none of us are impressing God. The truth is that God did everything to save you. And the truth is that the power that you need to live the Christian life also comes from him. And so we're not impressing him with how disciplined we can be in our own power and how we can be self-righteous and puff ourselves up and say, thanks God for saving me. I got it from here. You take a break, I got the rest. The truth is that all of us on a day-to-day basis need the grace of God poured into our lives so that we can live in freedom. I'm reminded, I get this picture of in my mind anytime I think about this or talk about this, about something I call the dirt circle. What I mean by that is sometimes, have you ever seen a dog? We have a dog named Lucy, and the way that we got Lucy is that one day, the neighbors moved out, and we didn't know what happened to them. It was just like, psh, disappeared in the middle of the night, not sure what happened. Like 2 days later, I hear this dog barking in the backyard. I'm like, I didn't know there was a dog over there. And so 5 days later, and I'm just kidding, I went and peeked over the fence, and sure enough, there was this little dog that's tied to the tree in the backyard. And like in all those situations, the dog had just kind of walked around and around and around and around and worn out all the grass around the tree, right? And there was this dirt circle that was around this tree. Because she was tied there. She was, if you will, she was a slave to that tree. She couldn't get away from it. She was chained to it. It was her master. And so I felt bad. So I ran up to the store and I got some dog food and put some water over there. And I was like, I don't know. Not sure if these people are coming back, what the story is. But in the meantime, maybe we should keep this animal alive, right? And so we started doing that for a day or two, and then it really realized these people are not coming back. And so I went over and undid the rope that was tied around her neck and brought her over into our yard. Now, our yard, we have a big fenced-in wooden privacy fence backyard. And so what she could have thought was, oh, no, I'm trapped in this yard, right? I'm trapped in this fence. But really, the way that she responded was, oh, no, I've been set free. I was tied up to this tree, and I only had a short leash, and I couldn't do anything. And I was out here on my own, and that could seem right and good to us. A lot of times, we just want to be on our own and do our own thing. But when God adopts us in and he brings us into his family, yes, there's some boundaries, but there's tons of freedom. It's a life of freedom in Christ that we've been given to live for him and to do things that are right and good and that are a blessing to others. And so it would be interesting if you were to let a dog free off of a leash, off of a rope, and they got so used to. You ever been scared by a dog? I've been scared plenty of times by dogs. Where you're walking down the road or something, and all of a sudden, I mean, just like, oh my God, I got to go home and change my pants. But then right before the dog gets to you, it's like, hoo-ah, because he's tied up. And it seems like he forgot that boundary for a second. He went all the way to the end. But can you imagine untying a dog and he remembers that grass circle and he's actually free, but he's living like he's a slave? That he still lives inside of that dirt circle and he runs and he barks at people, but he just stops right at the edge. And there's lots of freedom out there. There's lots of opportunity that's available. But he's so trained in his old way of thinking that he just lives within the confines of what he used to know. And unfortunately, for a lot of believers, that's how they live their lives, confined to that old dirt circle where they used to be chained to those certain boundaries, and they don't realize all the freedom and all the rights that they've been given as a part of God's family, that they're heirs of Jesus Christ, and that they've been given so many spiritual gifts and opportunities to serve and to give and to go and to be a part of God's kingdom. And so there is a faith that brings freedom that we need to experience and we need to enjoy on a daily basis instead of going through life just feeling like we're beat up, like we're chained up, like we can't express ourselves, like we can't be who God created us to be. Verse 12 says this, "That means that you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives." Too many of us are still giving sin a vote in how we conduct our lives. You see, we've been set free from sin. The leash has been undone, and we've been set free from sin. Sin no longer has to be your master. You don't have to go back to that way of living. Instead, what we should do on a day-to-day basis is no longer give sin a vote. Don't believe the lie that sin is more appealing than the things that God has for you, than the way of living that God has for you. In fact, the truth is that the life that God has for you is way more amazing and way more appealing and way more wonderful than anything that this world can falsely produce. And so if you would just live in that joy and in that peace and in that comfort, knowing that God has your back and that God is at your side and that God is walking with you, don't, when you look back at the world and see the things that they offer, don't believe the lie that it's better than what God has for you, because it's 100% not. That means that you must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly in full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. You are living in the freedom of God. You and I, if we've been set free, we've been bought with a price, then we are no longer our own. We've been set free, and we don't have to be enslaved to sin any longer. We don't have to just be robots going through this world, doing what the world tells us to do, because we're actually now citizens of another kingdom. This world is a temporary residence for us, but heaven is our home. God's kingdom is where our citizenship lies. And so we conduct ourselves in a way that's not down in the pig pen of the world, but that's lived in righteousness and holiness, not a self-righteousness that comes from us just trying a little bit harder and turning over a new leaf, but a righteousness that comes from abiding in Christ. One of the things that we encourage every single person here at Belmont to do is to have a daily encounter with Jesus. Because the life that you need for living, the power that you need for living comes from Him. It doesn't come from a church service. It doesn't come from a B5 energy drink. It doesn't come from a Red Bull, right? We can try all those things, but guess what? All those things wear out and you crash. But the life that we need for living comes from abiding with Jesus Christ day by day. And He fills you up and reminds you that you are His and that you are free to live as a child of God. And He also directs your path. When you do that, when you encounter Jesus on a daily basis and He is directing your path, there is a freedom in that, but there's also a supply in that. That is, when we try on our own to do our own thing, we keep hitting a wall, right? And we keep trying harder and we keep trying to force things to happen and make things to happen. But don't you know that when the Holy Spirit is guiding your life, that the doors get flung open, that things happen easier, that He is just paving the way in front of you when you're obeying Him and following Him? And you're like, man, this is so much simpler, and we're able to live with less. We're able to live with less stress because He is making our path straight. So, since we're out from the old tyranny, does that mean that we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that actually destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God, thanks be to God, you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in His freedom. Because we're free, it doesn't mean that we get to do anything we want any old time, right, as the song goes. But we're free to do what He wants any old time, and that is the very best thing for you and for me, to live in the freedom that He provides day by day. Margaret and the band are going to come back up, and we're going to see.